Welcome to BMP Radio. My name is Brian Pickowitz, and I am your host. The goal of this podcast is to connect you with individuals from the fields of fitness and lifestyle as they share their stories to ignite the fire within you. I want to thank you for tuning in as we inspire you to be a light and believe in more. What is going on, guys? Brian Pickowitz here, BMP Radio, and I'm super excited to have you guys tuning into episode 21 of our show. So on today's podcast, we feature Mandy Cunningham, and also known as Mandy Mayhem, as I call her on the podcast. But she is a fitness and lifestyle coach, a personal trainer, and also a figure competitor, and someone who is one of the most inspiring people that I've ever met when it comes to fitness and her journey. Mandy, on the course of her journey, has lost over 80 pounds and transformed her life using fitness as the tool to really cast that momentum forward. She's also someone who talks about building a balanced lifestyle, doing the things you want, and not allowing that to dictate your happiness when it comes to being healthy, being fit, and being strong. Mandy is an avid craft beer drinker and burger junkie, which is something that we dive into on the podcast here. And her message is one of empowerment for all people, but really inspiring people to see themselves as a powerful figure and a badass. In this podcast, we also talk about some of her training principles and some of the things that she discovered about herself in her journey when she first started at 200 pounds. Mandy talks about overcoming gym anxiety and how to build momentum around taking small steps every day to get better without thinking about the overarching theme of having to transform today. And so really inspiring to have her on this podcast. You can find her at Queen of Mayhem and also on Facebook at Mandy Cunningham. More than anything, check her out. Leave her some love if you love this podcast. And thank you all for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. And if you enjoyed this podcast, leave us a review so we can grow this message. But more than anything, thank you for tuning in. And without further ado, here's Mandy Cunningham. Mandy Mayhem, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thanks for having me.
I'm really glad you could be here on this bright and early Wednesday.
I mean, I've been up since 4:30 a.m., so what's 9 o'clock, right?
You're beating me. Well, I wanted to dive into a lot of different pieces on really getting a better background understanding of your story, because obviously you and I are friends, both from same place, same high school, stuff like that, but we both really created our own stories with fitness. But I feel like your story has compelled so many people. So what was the first motivation for you to get in shape? What was that like? If you could pull back to like 3 or 4 years ago, what was that first motivation for you?
It was definitely one day getting up. I mean, I'd had like weeks at a time where I knew I was gaining weight, and you know, you see it, but you don't always go on the scale when you get to that point of like no return. So I hopped on the scale and it said 199, and I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to be 200 pounds, just because, you know, everyone in my family is overweight and I just did not want that. I didn't want to have medical issues. So I'm like, okay, I have to do something about this. I literally had no idea what I was doing. Bodybuilding.com was like a godsend at that point, because I was just like Googling stuff to try to be like, how in the world do I get rid of this and like look better? It wasn't like I want to be in bodybuilding or a figure competitor or even a power lifter at that point. It was just, I'd like to weigh 160 instead of 200. So that definitely was a big wake up call. That scale almost went out the window, but it motivated me, so it was good.
What happened after that? So you have that moment, step on the scale, and that's obviously a shock for you, and there's all the emotional pieces, but like, what were the first actions after you kind of sat down and like, okay, I need to do something about this? Like, what were the first steps that you personally took, and how did that kind of start to snowball into something that was, at least I would say, a habit until it became a passion? Because obviously it became habit first.
Yeah, it had to become habit first. So I actually, I looked up a program and did a really simple program offline. I mean, it would have been great to have a coach, but I had no idea what I was doing. So I definitely had to create you know, I got a notebook and I started tracking all my workouts. I worked out like 3 to 4 times a week. I did a lot more cardio than I think I would recommend for somebody, but I mean, I was just getting into it and just creating that habit of, you know, either getting up before work or after work. I had a crazy schedule, so I made it a point to say at some point I have to, you know, go to the gym almost every day and just do something. So it became a habit. And then from there, it was sort of the more change you see, the more you get a little bit more dedicated. So you see the pounds come off and you're like, muscle would look good if it was there, or maybe this could be slimmer. And at that point, I didn't know you couldn't target something. So, you know, if I wanted to lose my belly fat, I'm like, okay, I'm going to run and do sit-ups. So, like I was tracking things and that kind of just like progressed. And the more results I saw, the different kinds of things I tried, because I've tried everything, you know, diet wise and, you know, working out wise. It just kind of like escalated from there of like, you know, you get to one goal, then you're like, all right, what's the new goal? What are we going to do next? And, you know, I kind of self-motivated myself through that and just track things and made it a habit. And then it just became part of my day. Once you do something that's a habit, it's no longer like I have to go to the gym. It's like, all right, I have to go to the gym, do this. And it's just like, it's like eating breakfast. It's just in your day somewhere. It's not anything that I can negotiate with myself. It was just, I do that because it makes me happy. And I've kind of lived every day since then just like that. You know, it's almost hard to take a rest day because you enjoy it so much. You're like, okay, I have to rest. I can't go and, you know, squat 280 today because that's ridiculous. I already, you know what I mean? So you got to kind of, yeah. So yeah, definitely progressed from there.
What was the first milestone?
Weight wise?
Or just in general, because I think that, so, I mean, in total, I know you've lost at your, like, peak, for lack of a better term.
Right.
You've lost almost, like, 80 pounds. Like,
yeah, it was, like, 75, 78-ish. Yeah.
And so, obviously, and that was, I think, like, correct me if I'm wrong, it took you about 3 years, 2.5 years?
It was, like, 2.5. Yeah, maybe even 2. It's hard because, like, you helped me with my figure competition. That was the lowest weight I've been at. But, I mean, anybody who competes knows that's not really a weight to say, yeah, I lost 80 pounds. If you were to count that, that would be, like, about 80. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't necessarily, like, health. Like, it wasn't, like the person who's, yeah, like, you know, 280, trying to get down to 200, and then they're not even, like, competing just because it's a different shape and stuff like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so, like, my standard actual, like, weight loss is, like, 60, 65, because I maintain at, like, 130 to 140. But really, that 20-pound marker, so, you know, when I saw this go down to 180, it was sort of, like, the next thing was to see it say 179. So I'm like, I'm in the 170s now. So you kind of, like, live by each little pound, because it's so funny. I talk to people that, you know, even I coach, and they're like, it's only 1 pound. I'm like, that's just like a little closer, because it's that 179 is like, okay, what about 175? So the 20 pounds was huge. The 50 pounds was like, I couldn't believe that I did that. Like, I even still, I post my photos and I'll post something inspirational and I'm like, did I really look like that? Do I really look like that now? Like, it's, I'm the same person, but I'm also completely different. And it's just, you know, everyone's always so astonished by it, but I am surprised by it all the time too, because it's just strange. So 20 pounds and 50 pounds were like the biggest moments, the aha moments of like, yeah, I got to keep this up.
One of the things I wanted to ask you, and I think that that's interesting you bring it up, because I wanted to ask you how you are able to work through any kind of body dysmorphia. And I'm not trying to peg that on you, so I want to articulate better. Because I think as people who are in fitness, it's really hard to necessarily see your body progress. Like, you're your harshest critic, and everyone's their harshest critic. But, like, one of the things that I knew is, like, when I did my first contest, I was 250 pounds leaning down, and I was like, oh, at like 30 pounds, I'll look really good.
Yeah, and, yeah.
That wasn't the case. But then even when I got to the other end of the spectrum, I was never as good as I thought I could be. And then, right, like, you have like 6 months go by after that, and you're like, wow, I really looked great, because you're always, yeah, in that position where you're questioning yourself. So being that you've had this massive, it's almost like a metamorphosis. It's not even a transformation. It's a whole other step.
Yeah, yeah,
how do you keep that mental side of you in check? Like, how are you able to push through that? And have you had struggles with that? And how have you been able to kind of pull yourself through being like, no, I'm actually in a really great place?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a struggle. I'm not going to say that I don't struggle with it here and there. I think any normal person would. It's definitely been harder being on the side of the spectrum of competing and having to gain weight to then, you know, look the way I want to with putting on muscle and having strength. So my biggest thing right now is strength. And knowing that, I know I can't weigh 120 pounds. It's just not going to happen for how much muscle I have. It's just to the strength that I want, I can't have. So it's hard to see the scale go back up. And I think that, you know, I try to tell people all the time and tell myself all the time to not pay too much attention to the scale. It's a great thing to have guide you, but it definitely is, the scale sometimes will mess with my head as far as, you know, trying to put on weight to lift heavier weight. So the way that I do that is I take my own progress photos. I have to recognize and remind myself that things aren't fitting differently. And if they are, they're in the areas I'm trying to build muscle. My shirts are getting tight around the chest and back. Well, I want my back bigger. So it's not tight heat, you know, on my stomach or whatever. So it's hard. You have to keep it in check and remind yourself. And like you said, you know, you look back at a photo. It's almost good to do that in a way, because then you're like, I need to get real with myself, because that I was upset then of how I looked, and I was fine. I looked amazing. So you have to kind of, like, you know what I mean, get yourself to a point where you recognize in the mirror and not tear it apart. The other thing is to not compare yourself to people all the time. Everybody out there has a different physique. So to try to, it's good to idolize somebody, look up to someone, follow their workouts. Like, I mean, everyone knows I love Dana Lynn Bailey, but you know, we have different stature. It's just, you can't beat yourself up over not being somebody else, because the whole point is to be yourself. So you have to kind of like stay in your lane, remind yourself of your own journey, how far you've come, and keep pursuing that and not let it discourage you. So I just try to, I tell myself I know my stuff, and I know that if I do get too far, like I weighed 145 trying to put on muscle and I was like horrified, and that messed with my head a ton. But I'm like, I do this all the time. I've done this for years now. I know how to get back. I know how to help other people. You have to kind of just like tell yourself that if you follow the process, you can rein it back in, and you can, you know, remind yourself of how far you've come. Cause that's the biggest piece.
I love that. Yeah. What, when you were going through this, I want to pull it back to like the first year, and I know we're going to bounce around a little bit, but when you're going through your first, let's say, year, besides the scale, what were some of the biggest like changes that motivated you?
So it was definitely the progress photos I took. I'm so happy that I did. I didn't want to take them at all.
Man,
I had them on my
don't.
Phone. I almost hid them in a folder on my phone. I almost deleted them 75 million times. There's probably photos that I have that are actually me heavier than the ones I post on social media, because I was disgusted in myself. And I'm not at all saying anybody overweight's disgusting, but everybody knows in their head, you know, you're your worst critic, like you said. So you look at yourself and you're like, I can't even have this anywhere electronically. Like, I just, it needs to be gone, because you're just, you know, you beat yourself up. So the progress photos were the biggest motivator, just seeing the tiny changes. I was always doing side by sides, like every week or every other week for myself, just for my own knowledge. I mean, not having like a check-in coach, it was maybe not as consistent since I did it by myself, but the photos were huge. So anybody out there that needs to or wants to lose weight or needs that reality check, progress photos 100%. Like, it's just, that's such a good thing. Measurements are great too. I really wish I would have taken some. In the very beginning, I didn't. I think the photos were kind of all I had, but it was definitely a good reference point. And it's a good motivator for people now who follow me, which is, I'm so thankful that I did it. So those were the most motivating and terrifying.
What was the biggest mental shift? So obviously, and we're going to dive into this later in the show. I have some different like topics I want to kind of break down with you, but obviously fitness, I think that you would agree with this, at least because we're so close, and you obviously know a lot of what I represent and what I try to promote, but like fitness is a total mental health change. Like, so yeah. if you can get your body in shape, then you can start to change your life, and you can see how one thing kind of builds into the next thing. And it might not be perfect, but it's at least a step. what were some of the biggest mental changes that you felt during that time? Because obviously you're seeing your body change, you're starting to feel empowered. Like, did that start to shift other things for you? Or was it just like having more energy to feel empowered to go to the gym? Like, what were there steps that were practical like that? Or maybe even how has it helped you outside of just looking at the physical transformation?
So one of the biggest things I'll always remember about losing weight and feeling more comfortable in my skin was the ability to like sit down. This sounds so silly. To sit down in a car seat and not have to like fluff my shirt and like fix and adjust and stretch things because I felt like I had to cover something. Like I was always adjusting or like, I mean, I'm sure even men out there are gonna relate to this. It's like you stand up and you're in the mirror and you're fluffing your shirt and you're fixing your pants, you're pulling them up and you're like belting and, you know, you take photos of friends and you're shifting your body different. So the biggest thing for me was to be a little bit more carefree and less stressed about it because I was more confident in the way that I looked that I don't care if I sat down in a car seat and had a little bit of a roll because I know there wasn't a whole lot of fat there anymore. Or if I take a photo with a friend, I'm not contorting my body so ridiculously that when somebody sees me in person, they're like, don't you weigh 200 pounds? Like why are you didn't look like that in that photo. Like now I feel like I can truly show how I would look in person without trying to, you know, back in the MySpace days, you hold your phone way over your head and make yourself look all small. Like that's how I lived my life for so long because you're not happy with the way you look just straight on. Right now, if someone took a photo of me straight on, I mean, no one's ever going to be 100% pleased, but I'm so much more confident in that's definitely, you know, something that I enjoyed out of the process. You know, it was just little things like that, you know, not adjusting clothes and being more confident in photos, running on the treadmill and not feeling like everybody was watching you anymore. Like it's just little weird stuff like that, that kind of shifts in your mind and your mental is, I mean, I have very much high anxiety and I have depression anyway. So I have some things I battle already. But just being more confident in myself helps those things so much because you just don't feel like everybody in the room's looking at you anymore. Not saying if you're overweight, if you're confident, great. But you know, if that's something that's holding you back, you know, me changing it really helped me step it up in a lot of different ways and be more confident, you know, even at work, you know what I mean? Stuff like that.
Well, and I think it's judgment, you know, and I think that's what quantifies it. It's social yeah. judgment and everyone, no matter how strong they are, no matter how much they want to bully anyone to think that they're not, everyone fears social judgment. No one wants to be in a position where they're being judged or being critiqued or being put down. And so when you're out of shape or you're, and it's not even necessarily like having to be like, when you're not comfortable with yourself and everyone has their own standard for what they're comfortable for. And even if you lower that standard, you're not comfortable because you could be the person who's like, you know, I mean, we've all seen it the first, like, especially as in the industry that we do as a coach and as trainers and stuff like that. It's easy for us to get someone who's like, oh, I guess that I'm happy here. And even though they're not, and I think that it's more of, it's okay to feel like anxious about it. It's okay to feel that pressure to want to change. And that is a subtle shift that makes a big difference throughout the course of those different experiences too.
Yeah.
What when you first started going to the gym, did you have a lot of gym anxiety and how did you kind of push through that?
Oh yeah. I feel like I post about this like at least once a month just because it's such a relatable topic for anybody. I feel like even if you're in shape, if you go to a new gym, you're like, oh my God, people here are better than me or not. So I think it kind of is for everybody. I totally had gym anxiety. I went to Planet Fitness in the beginning. I would go there and I always tell the story of like, I would never touch dumbbells. 4 or 5 years ago, I couldn't tell you the difference between a dumbbell and a barbell. I felt so stupid. So I'd be like leg press and I'd be like, don't know what that is. Like it was just so, I was so uneducated and so unguided that really, you know, kind of fed into being so anxious at the gym. So I did a lot of cardio and I was wanting to run, but I was overweight. So, you know, I felt like I made a lot of noise and that I was breathing heavy and people would look at me. So I'd always tuck myself away in the corner, incline walk on a treadmill and just totally keep to myself. Or I'd make jokes about it. I'd be like, yeah, I went to the gym once this week. Who needs that? Like, just because I felt so, I had to like almost deflect that like gym anxiety of like, well, yeah, I hide myself away because people are stupid. Like it was really because I felt like if I went in the weight room, that all these guys at that time that I thought were jacked, this is Planet Fitness, so probably not anymore to me, but at that time when I was 200 pounds, I was like, everybody was jacked instead of me. So I would go into the weight room and I would be looking around and I'd like try to do some curls, because I mean, everybody knows that's a basic thing everybody can kind of do. And I would be so anxious and make people are watching me. I do like one set and scurry away to a machine. And it's just, it's overwhelming, because you don't have, you know, if you're starting out and you don't have, you know, all of the education, you're not going to. I mean, you and I don't even know everything that there is probably to work out in different facilities.
That's
you go to somewhere
honest.
New. You yeah, you go somewhere to, you know, you travel and you go to a new gym and you're like, damn, I do this 6 to 7 days a week, but I have no goddamn clue where I'm going today. So, I mean, everyone has that sense of gym anxiety, whether you're experienced or not, but it was very, very bad in the beginning. But the more I went, the more comfortable I got, the more I researched, the more I watched YouTube videos on how to do stuff. I would ask, you know, people who I knew went to the gym more frequently than me how to do things so that I wouldn't feel stupid if I was doing it wrong. So I just felt like the education is what gave me, more confidence.
I think most people don't know too, that the gym for most people is a community.
Sorry, Thor's walking by.
That's all right. But the gym is a community. Like most people, when they go to the gym, it does become a community. Even I think that that's the struggle with Planet Fitness, is it's not a community. So people go to Planet Fitness I think Planet Fitness is for people who are the most uncomfortable. And what I'm gonna position that in a different way, because it makes it so everyone's uncomfortable. So
everyone's in their own world. Everyone's sort of like, you know, and they all bounce in and out. So then you don't have regulars, because there's no sense of community. So you go to Planet Fitness and you're like, oh, I'm going to go home and just walk, because you just have nobody to kind of like have your gym crew with. And that helps with accountability. You go to the gym and you're like, I'm going to see so-and-so and so-and-so today. They're going to say hi to me. And it's almost like when you go to Planet Fitness, at least for me, and obviously this isn't everywhere, but mine at least, it was like, there was different people there every day. And the people who were there all the time were the really in shape people who I never had like that in between community. So, you know, you're right that there isn't that sense of community at a big gym like that. That's just sort of like spread apart. And yeah.
Well, and I think that makes it so you can learn. So obviously you and I started at Snap Fitness, like that was where like, or we started, like that's where you and I started.
That was when
like,
I got serious and we got serious there. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, but that was a community in that gym. Like even like you go to a place like Gold's Gym out here, like the friends that I have now are from that experience of seeing them consistently at the gym. And you can get into a position where you can learn something from someone by just watching them or seeing them. Hey, you know, I kind of see you enough that I can approach you. I think that people don't see that in the gym, because what their image of it is Planet Fitness. Like they think gym is Planet Fitness.
Yeah.
And that's great for Planet Fitness, but that's not the way that I think most gyms operate. Because I know if I was to see someone who was like, I'm more inspired by the person who's 250 pounds, who's trying to get to 170 pounds because that's where their body's supposed to be, than the person who's 250 pounds, jacked, shredded, and just lifting a bunch of weight. Like it's cool. Like both have their own category. But to me, it's like that person who's like actually trying to do something for themselves that is so transformative, I think is more inspiring. And I think you could.
Yeah. It inspires me, and I'm sure it inspires you. You're like, okay, I was complaining about coming to the gym today, and that guy is like sweating his ass off, having a great time. And he's there for him and he's having a blast. And you know, last week he looked different than he did this week. And that's like super motivating. And people probably thought that about us when we were going to the gym in the beginning, but you know, those people talking that I was anxious about were probably like, damn, she can actually run and she's like 200 pounds. That's crazy. You know, stuff like that. It is super motivating to see people, more so than the people who are already in shape.
And I think
in some ways,
I think for most of the people who are in shape too, they feel like there's a debt of gratitude, because it's like learning a new language.
Yeah.
You have to foster something. So like if I see, obviously I think that you're probably in the same position where it's like, I'm never going to walk in and be like, hey, you're doing that wrong. If like, right. unless it's like, cause no one wants that. Cause then it's uncomfortable for everyone and they feel,
well, because
they feel
you're
judged.
Right. And you're in shape. So you're like, this guy in shape's telling me I'm doing something wrong. Like he's just a jerk. And it, you don't want to ever put yourself, cause you remember being that person and being like, oh my God, please nobody come up to me. Cause you're just embarrassed and you don't want anyone to correct you. So, yeah.
But I think also the reverse of it is like, you do have an obligation or at least some duty to help someone when they're in need. If they right. ask, they come to you. What I wanted to dive into though, so this is like the first year of Mandy and now we're articulating before we get through it. What was the light switch that was like, okay, I'm actually, for lack of a better term, really good at this, or this is a passion for me. It's something I want to pursue more in-depthly. Like, was it the community you were around? Like, was it something like, I know you were inspired by Daniel and Bailey. Like, maybe we could talk about that. But like, what was the light switch that goes on? It's like, okay, no, I can do this at a professional level or actually go into this to compete, for lack of a better term.
Right. I think it's just, you know, again, going back to the progress photos and seeing how much progress I've made on my own. I've had to do extensive research on macronutrients, on different kinds of diets, on different kinds of splits. And it was just, I have all of this knowledge and, you know, I guess I still for a while lived in that brain of like being in high school where I'm like, that's my band, don't listen. Where I was like, no, I'm not going to do that with fitness advice. I'm not going to be like, this is my fitness. I'm not sharing this information. So, you know, I've lived in that mindset for too long of being like, I'm not sharing with anybody. And I kind of had to step back and be like, I've made such a difference in my own life that like other people come up to me, I could never do that. And I'm like, yes, you can though. Like you totally can do that. So with all my knowledge, I just felt like I had to share that love. Like I just had to, like, it was my duty to be able to do that because it doesn't even feel like a job when I help people. I mean, it's like, it just happens. Like, I just love giving advice. And I mean, not to say it's great to make money off of it, but even when I wasn't, it's like, you know, I have so many people ask me questions now that I'm like, I need to also give myself that, you know, this is my time. And I do so many of the things that you have to kind of, you know, put a price on your self-worth as well. So just having that knowledge and needing to share it and the want to help people has just driven me to kind of move in this other new direction of my life. And I guess the difference I've made and, you know, people telling me that all the time is just really impacted, you know, what I can believe I can do now. It's almost actually like they've given me confidence, even though I've seen my results. It's like other people recognizing the information that I know is, you know, motivating to me to say, yeah, I do know my stuff and I can help people. And I have helped people. I've given advice to, you know, a really good friend of mine, Haley, who, you know, I don't even know how many pounds she's down, but she's, you know, I haven't helped her 100%, but just giving her advice and seeing her go, oh yeah, that's how you do that. That was like one of the first times I was like, oh yeah, like I should really be helping people like this more, because just seeing that happiness shift in somebody is just so, there's no price you can put on, you know, watching somebody else's success. I mean, not everyone's driven that way, but, you know, seeing somebody, oh my God, I'm down 5 pounds is like, that probably makes me happier than it makes them. So, you know, helping people is just great. And, you know, competing was just sort of a, I just want to have as much knowledge as I can. So competing for me was, if I like it, I'll keep doing it. If not, I want to say that I did this. I want to say I know the process. And just like everything else I've done in fitness, I mean, I try different training styles and different things, and I might even compete in powerlifting at some point. I want to be able to say that I've done all these different things to help my knowledge, to help other people. So competing was just like another layer of that, another layer of understanding in a different way. And it definitely helped with, like you said, the body dysmorphia piece. That, you know, being at that low of weight, I can give good advice to people now knowing like how long it took me to get out of it and what I could have done differently to get myself there faster or to be a little bit more understanding to myself. So all the little layers kind of add up and give you, you know, a solid foundation to be able to help people, which, you know, was what motivated me to go in that direction.
So with that, so the process of competing, which I wanted to talk about just in a small essence, was that an experience that you feel like was helpful for you in that sense of actually having that tangible mark, or maybe a better way of putting that was like, when did that shift from being like, this is something I'm going to do for like fun and for Mandy, and this is something I'm going to be competitive with? What was that shift? Because I feel like that kind of, that takes you to that different level, whether that's competing in CrossFit, powerlifting, bodybuilding, like that's what kind of makes it. So you're more than just the person at the gym. So how did you push into that space? And was that kind of the light that started to like push to ignite that passion for sharing it with others? Like that you had gone through that journey, or what was that like?
So that was great. I think that the sense of community, going back to just a sense of community that you get from everybody, is competing in itself. You know, people see people on stage and they're like, oh, that person looks fantastic. They're probably mean. I've honestly made so many friends with competing that, you know, even if I never compete again, it kind of gave me a more of a drive, because I'm like, okay, this isn't just about looking good. This is about being healthy. This is about competing against yourself. This is about, you know, so many different things, and you gain such a big respect. I think that my mind shift almost happened like the day of my competition. Like leading up to them, like I was me against me, me against me, me against me. And then in line, I was just talking to all these fabulous women of all ages with all these different stories, that it was just so, you know, that was kind of what shifted my mind of like, we've all been somewhere rough, or we've all, I don't know, it just kind of, you know, puts things in perspective, and it kind of, I don't know, I think it helped me. I mean, I was obviously competitive, but it almost helped me realize that, you know, some people need help. And I just think that some of the conversations I had during my competition helped me a ton. And that sounds silly to say that it wasn't like in the beginning, but I'd never competed before, so I wasn't really sure 100% what to expect. But the sense of community that I got from that and the motivation was awesome. I don't know if I directly answered your question, but...
No, that's fine. There's no answer I'm seeking. It's just more trying to give other people a roadmap.
The sense of community is great with competing. It was good. And the competing against yourself, I think, is kind of a cool thing to do. And I think that you do that anyway. When you lose weight, you're like 5 pounds or 6 pounds. And it's just a different kind of competing against yourself. I still train in that style for the most part. And, you know, at least I would know how to give somebody advice who's gone through it, or, you know, has had a bodybuilding experience, just because it's, you know, I've at least been there once is what I can kind of say too, which is nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think it pieces itself together really nice to see that full change. It's like, you don't have to compete and be a bodybuilder, but it's like, no, I did that. Like it took me 2 years, but I did that. And I think that's like the powerful, like, whew, well, she went from that to that. I can hand, it's very inspiring for people to see you.
Right. I think that part of my story and my message is that if I can be limitless, so can somebody else. Like I just want to, like, I've given myself that. There's so many, I've been through extremes. So I figured, why not go to the other extreme of being super in shape and super conditioned and pushing myself to that limit? Like I just wanted to be limitless and feel very powerful. And honestly, when I stepped on that stage and I realized how much hard work I had done, like I said, it was almost like during the competition, I had almost disassociated from the whole process kind of while I was doing it. I was just, you know, doing what I normally do, just with maybe some lower calories and some more cardio. And then, you know, once I actually got on stage, I felt so empowered of like, I would have never been here. Like I would have never even put on a bathing suit similar to this. Like it was just so, it was so crazy. So I think that one of my biggest takeaways and biggest things to give to other people is sort of like, it's cliche, but if I can do it, so can you, you know, as long as you believe that you are limitless and, you know, everything is at your fingertips. If you, you know, want to educate yourself or find somebody to help you, like you can do that. And that's, I think that's a good message to feel that kind of power. And, you know, it's this sort of self-empowerment, which is just, there's no price to put on that. It's just, it's a really, really good feeling to have that.
What, how has that helped you with clients? So how has that transition into seeing, okay, I've been able to do this, now pulling back where you're starting to, I would say, you can correct me. If I'm wrong, that's fine. But I would say the last 3 or 4 months, you've really stepped into a place where you've started to push more on helping people with their fitness goals in a professional sense, and giving your time and in personal training and coaching and stuff like that. How has that focus on your journey helped inspire them to stay on theirs or start theirs?
So it's kind of funny, because there's two sides of that where people see the limitless side, and that's what's motivating, is being overweight and getting to, you know, being stage ready or just being in really, really good shape. The other side of that, which is, I think, a battle that even like you and Lindsay may have, is that a lot of times, a lot of the comments I get are like, I don't want to be as muscular as you, or I don't want to be a bodybuilder. So I've had to kind of battle both. I think a lot of people are motivated that I could do, you know, being overweight to being very lean or maintaining being fairly lean. So that's one of the biggest things I get, is like, you know, you're so real, you motivate me because you just tell it like it is. And I see you out having fun and living a balanced lifestyle. Like, I mean, everybody I talk to knows I love craft beer, and that's a hard thing to do when you're in the fitness industry. But I think it gives a realistic view to people, which I think why people take to me so well is not saying go drink beer and have a blast, but I'm saying, if you go out one night and you have a drink and you have dinner, it's not going to ruin 5 years of dedication and hard work. So I think that people take to that piece of me well, of I'm real and I just put out there what I do on a daily basis. And I think that's motivating for people to see that, you know, I was overweight. I didn't really sacrifice a whole lot of my personal life. You know, I'm still with the same person I was with, you know, almost 6 years ago. I still do a lot of the same activities I used to do. I'm not really a different person. That's what's motivating, is people don't want to, you know, they don't want to change everything in their life. They just want to look and feel better. And I've kind of done that myself. So I think that's the biggest piece that is motivating to other people. And I think that the anxiety and depression battles that I have also speak to a large group of people. And just the anxieties of being in the gym. And I think me being kind of open about that with my clients and open about that on social media has helped people realize that, oh, like, I just didn't start and be like, I can do this, I'm awesome, like day one. Like there is an adjustment period. And I, you know, I also talk about, you know, you falling back on your diet. Like I always tell people when they, you know, I ate a Reese's today, I'm freaking out. And it's like, you know, you don't want to do that every day or even every week, but it's going to happen. You're going to have a whole week where you feel like you've totally botched everything, because that's life. Life gets busy and crazy. Someone could pass away. You could lose your house. You could, even something so awful could happen to you that you can come back from that, you know, mentally and physically. So I think that just speaking out about the fact that I've had lots of ups and downs, without going too far into my family history, I mean, I've had some really awful things happen to me and some really tough situations that I've gained back 20 pounds and then had to lose it all over again. So being real about that helps people realize too, that this is a lifestyle change. It's a journey. It's not a diet or a fad thing. Like what I'm promoting is being able to have a long, healthy life and enjoy it. So, and I've been able to do that. So I think that that's just a piece that people take away from it, which is good, because that's what I want them to take away from it.
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the questions, so I put this on social media, and one of the questions that I saw pop up on it popped up like 25 minutes before I put up the podcast, consistency. So yes. To lose 60 to 80 pounds, you have to be very, very consistent. And yes. I think that that's something that people struggle with. I know that in my space with my clients, that's something that's very tough. And I think that it is part of that, looking at like they have to always be perfect. How do you stay consistent though? So how do you balance the craft beer and the burger or the donut? Right. Because I know that that's what Mandy and I are having.
Right. If you just list, if you list tacos and burritos, you got my favorites right there. So
yes,
I'm an all-American girl. Like, I love beer. I love a good burger. I love chicken wings. Like, I am right there with the rest of them with liking bad food. So the way that I balance this is, like, I truly do, like, not even an 80-20. It's even probably, but that 20% is even less. I meal prep every Sunday. You know, I take the time to calculate my macros. It's great if you have somebody doing it for you, like a coach, because that makes it easy. But I know what my goal is, so I know how to kind of tweak my stuff as needed. So I'll, you know, follow my own macro plan, meal prep for the week. I make sure I follow that. I eat throughout the week. If I miss a meal and I'm on the go, huge fan of MyFitnessPal, I'll try to fit something into my macros, make it work. And then, you know, I'm consistent in that way. I make sure I hit the gym. I mean, obviously I'm a little bit more extreme than maybe some of our clients would be, just because I'm trying to put on mass and be strong. I always hit the gym like 6 days a week. So if not, I try to aim for five if, you know, something comes up. And then I give myself, you know, once every couple weeks or even every week, just a cheat day or a cheat meal, you know. So not every single week, you know, if I obviously have a craft beer here and there, maybe on a day where my diet has been in check, but I know how to kind of tweak things, not saying remove carbs to enjoy a beer. But, you know, if you know you're going to go out somewhere, I'll pre-track it and then move my day around what I'm going to do. Like, if you know that you're going to go to Chipotle and have a big old rice bowl, you know to track that. Then in the morning, maybe you just have a smaller breakfast, because you got to kind of, so it's learning how to balance it to stay consistent. So that way it meshes in with your lifestyle, but you're still hitting your goals consistently daily. So my cheat days, I usually, sometimes me and Al will make something at home. We'll make like a really lean, good burger. Maybe I'll add like a fun cheese on it, and then we'll have a craft beer. And that's not really a cheat meal, but I might do a topping I wouldn't normally do, or make some, you know, sweet potato fries or something, and just do something a little bit extra and kind of eat higher carb versus doing like high carb, high fat fried food. So I, you know, I balance it out to keep consistency. And the biggest thing is, when you mess up, to not just toss away the whole week. Like, if on Monday you had McDonald's and you're new at this and you're like, I had a Big Mac. I mean, my biggest advice would be, don't throw away the whole day or the whole week over that one thing. If you get right back on track, I mean, depending how sensitive your system is, you should be able to bounce back from that. I think people's biggest thing is like, well, I had a Big Mac, so I'm going to eat this Ben and Jerry's pint now, because why not? So consistency is about recognizing where you're at and kind of reevaluating and keeping on track throughout the week.
Do you think a part of it's also being able to believe in where you're going? Or do you, how does like your goal setting, because I think that that's a hard thing too, is like, oh, well, you know, I guess that I lost the pounds, but I feel really good and that's enough. Like,
right.
You consistently remind yourself of, no, I have to be disciplined because I want to look this way, or I want to hit this point, or I know that if my diet's off, I won't feel the right way. Like, how do you mentally condition yourself? Because obviously MyFitnessPal, huge tool. I'll tell everyone, track your food before you go out. Amy Vogue, absolute rock star. She goes out. Right. I'm like, you know, track your three beers that you're going to have with your people, and that way you can plan around it.
Around it.
But the mental part, I think, is the hard thing for people. So like, mentally, how do you show up consistently, and how have you showed up consistently for the last 3 years?
So, I mean, I can't even say that every week's been consistent, because we all have that. It happens. So I don't want to put out that like unrealistic expectation of every week's on point, because it absolutely isn't. But I mean, 9 times out of 10, I'm pretty close to being on point or on point. So mentally, I still take photos, you know, I still will, you know, I guess the biggest thing is like, if I go too overboard on something one day, and I know, you kind of just know you do, because I think even when you're in a position where you're not, even if you're not in shape, you know what eating right feels like and what going overboard feels like. And I think that just the accountability in yourself of being like, in recognizing like, that was way too much of whatever I had. Like, maybe I should have had one donut instead of two. And that latte probably didn't need whole milk. Like, you know what I mean? Things like, it's not like, don't linger over it, but just, it's good to kind of have those mental checkpoints. So I set goals for myself. I mean, not that people can see me, but you can see me. I have a planner in front of me. I have, you know, apps on my iPad and my phone that I I'm constantly writing things down, and maybe it's not as in a structured way, but I always have something written in my planner, constantly trying to find new things to go towards. So it's strength. If I want to lift really heavy, well, having six beers the night before is not going to help me lift heavy the next day. I'm going to feel awful. Mm-hmm. So there's things where if you have the goals of being strong or looking good, you have to keep those things in mind and recognize you can have a little bit of fun or eat something really yummy that you've been craving, but then kind of just bounce back and just trust the process that if you do have a cheat day or a cheat meal, that as long as you keep it pretty much at that, you know, you're not going to go off the rails, as some people would say. So it's just that accountability in yourself kind of thing.
One of the things I want to know off that is, do you have, like, let's say you have a bender, say like Mandy and I'll go crazy.
Right. That will, to be honest with you, that will be me this Saturday. Cause as you know, my beer fest is always in July.
Oh yes.
So Saturday will be like not tracked. And I've been like on point this week, cause I know that Saturday is going to be a little rough. I'm not tracking anything, and that does happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But do you still, so like, I think that's a hard thing because people don't want to judge themselves. So they don't like, so like they have a bender and they're like, I'm not taking progress photos. I'm not stepping on the scale. Do you find that you're more inspired personally or more driven to stay consistent when you are real with yourself? Or do you if you have like a bad couple of days, would you still step on the scale and be like, you know, okay, well, that's my check to keep myself moving in the right direction? Or like, do you still take your progress photos that way? Or is it more of, okay, I've had a bad day, I'm going to wait 3 days? Or is there like a rawness and realness that you give yourself?
Oh, I'm mean. If I know, like 4th of July was a good example. I did a really good job with eating food, but then I ended up having an ice cream sandwich and I had more than two beers. And I was like, I knew as I was doing it, like, this isn't conducive to my goals, but I'm doing it anyway. And we all have those weird mental blocks. You're having fun.
It's also important to note that craft beers are not Coors Light. Like the calories of craft beers are going to be totally different. So anyone's listening and they think two beers, like that's not just like two.
I'm talking like two heady toppers at like 8%. Like it's like, it's pretty heavy. So yeah. And they're 16-ounce cans. It's not like a rinky dink. So it's different. So I knew that, but I'm a little bit mean to myself in the sense, and I guess it's being real with myself, I guess, not being mean, is like that very next day I was like, I'm stepping on the scale. Like I just immediately was like, I have to. I immediately looked at myself in the mirror, and you just, a night of drinking or eating bad food, especially when you are, I think that being really in tune with your body without being obsessed is really important, because I'm very in tune with my body. I can visually see, even if the scale says the same weight, sometimes it says less if you have a cheat meal, just because, you know, sodium and all that fun stuff, it'll kind of message you a little bit. But looking at myself in the mirror, weighing myself, was like a back on the horse again, because I was up, you know, a few pounds, which overnight isn't always a good judge, but I could see, you know, I just felt bloated, I felt bad, and I just knew that that was like that's a one-time thing. You know, some people do that kind of stuff every day, and then you get used to that feeling, and you don't know what it's like to feel refreshed and good the next morning. Like, you know, I wasn't hungover, but I just felt like, I'm unmotivated. Like you just feel so bogged down by the sugar, and like just overnight, you just don't want to get up. It's just, yeah. So I have that mental check with myself where I look in the mirror and I'm like, and immediately the first thing I did was I went to the gym that morning. I wasn't like, I've taken today off because I messed up last night. Back at the gym, my strength was a little bit down because of having the beer. Not, I don't think I had as much protein and whatnot as I should have. And I kind of tracked most of my day, not the end. I mean, it happens to all of us, but that reality check of like, the gym wasn't as hot the next day, was sort of like, I like to perform well in the gym. That's my thing. Got to get right back to it and avoid doing that as much as possible.
And I also want to make the note too, that it's not a matter for anyone listening. It's not necessarily always a matter of like being harsh with yourself, like in a mean way. Like I know you said mean is like a funny thing, but I know it's like for you, it's just being raw and being real with yourself,
but also
not degrading yourself. Like, cause I think it's like, it's a fine balance of the two. Like, okay, I'm going to be honest with myself. I had a couple bad days. I'm going to take my progress photos because this is a standard I'm setting for myself, but I'm not going to allow it to fester to the point where I drop down and eat 1,000 calories. It's right. It's not punishing yourself. It's just, okay, I'm back on the horse. And I think that allows you to stay consistent long-term.
Yeah. And I mean, by doing the dropping of your calories and drastically changing your diet, it's making you so sensitive anyway that you're just screwing with your metabolism. Like, don't mess with the metabolism any more than you have to. You just gotta, you know, if you eat something bad on a holiday or something, I hate when I hear people say, I'm just going to eat this one meal. And I'm like, you should eat more consistently throughout the day. Like, it's just, even if it's small things, like you just have a plate of egg whites just to get some protein and, you know, some greens or something in. It's, yeah, you have to do that.
I want to jump into a couple more questions before we hit more of just like figuring out who Miss Mayhem is. But one of the things I like to ask is, if you had a client who was in this position where they couldn't go to the gym for a long amount of time, they're really focused on, you know, hitting X, Y, and Z, and they're like, you know, I really can only do 3 exercises. There's only 3 exercises I could do. That's all I have time for. What are the 3 exercises you would have them perform?
So the powerlifting piece of me is just like squat, bench, and deadlift, but it depends what you would want for your look. So I think that instead of benching, maybe I would personally do overhead press, because I just love like a good barbell overhead press. So squat, bench, and deadlift, and overhead press. I mean, in all those movements, you are working more than just that one targeted piece. So I wouldn't say, you know, stand there and do bicep curls. Like, there's been days where I don't have a lot of time, and I will sometimes do it. The past couple of weeks, my weekend day has been squat, bench, and deadlift. And my core is sore. Like, you work your core, you're stabilizing, there's such compound movements. There's so much value to that. And as a beginner, if you can get those movements down solid, that is a really, really good starting point. So if that was like all you ever did, I think you could probably still have a pretty decent physique and probably be pretty damn strong with just those 3 movements.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Who's someone who inspires you to take action?
Take action in what way? Like fitness action?
Just in general, yeah. Or someone who inspired you, someone who consistently pushes you or something like that.
So it's funny because my inspiration comes from a negative source, and not in the way of, you know, they yell at me and tell me I can't do something. But I would say that my biggest inspiration is my mom passing. I think that her health being so bad, it was a reality check. I think that it was something that, you know, she died of liver cirrhosis. I drink beers. It's terrifying for me to, like, alcoholism is totally a thing, like, in my family. And, you know, she was definitely addicted to certain things that, you know, I would never want to go down that route. So my motivation comes from never being like that, if that makes sense. And just, you know, she was always overweight. She got a gastric bypass. She lost, like, almost 200 pounds and went back to almost 400 pounds because she just didn't follow the diet. She was like 380, and then she ended up going back to being like 380 again after being down to like 140 pounds. So watching those progressions of, you know, that mental battle she had, she became totally, she had agoraphobia. So she would never leave the house. She had severe depression, anxiety. So you can see the similarities of some of the things that I have in my life that I do or that are in me, that my motivation comes from constantly trying to be the best version of myself that I can be, because I can see, you know, where my mom was. I mean, she died in her early 40s. I mean, that's just like nobody wants that. So to lose somebody for, you know, having a fatty liver, for being overweight and drinking and, you know, being addicted to, you know, pills and things like that. It's just motivating to be your own person and to be different than that. And I think that that's like I said, it's kind of like a negative twist on motivation, but it's not like somebody's so great, I follow them. I've had to set my own example my whole life and, you know, basically raise myself. So seeing her go through that has motivated me tons to be very independent and to be more aware of my health in general.
I don't think it's, I want to just tell you this. I don't think it's negative. I think it's inspiring.
Yeah. I mean, because it's a sad background, but I think that a lot of people don't want to talk about it if it happens to them.
Yeah.
If you have a parent that was an addict in any way or overweight and embarrassing, quote unquote embarrassing, or have mental issues. I mean, she kind of had all those things, and it's embarrassing to talk about. So it isn't negative, like you said. It's just a little sad, but it's motivating.
I think it makes it so because people can relate to that because it's real. Like right. that's a very real thing that I don't think that most people have the courage to talk about. And I think that's right. The difference. It's like, okay, well, and at the same time, I think by doing what you're doing, you're inspiring people to also not follow the same path too. So it kind of serves right. that purpose too.
Yeah. You go one way or the other. You either follow that direction or you go the opposite way. And, you know, there was those two paths and I could very easily be the same boat my mom is in and, you know, drink a bottle of wine a night and, you know, drown my sorrows, but you just can't live like that. And if you're strong enough to recognize and you believe in yourself, even if it's a little ounce of believing in yourself, you can completely go the opposite direction and use that experience for the good and to help other people, like you said, and motivate and inspire other people who are like that or have somebody in your life that it scares them in the way of like, I don't want to be like that person. So
what is Mandy like outside of the gym? What are some of your things that you do for leisure? What are some of the things? I know we talked about beer. We talked about some of the funner, lighter things. Like, what do you like outside of fitness? What's like the thesis of Mandy Mayhem?
I like cats. I know you know that. I mean, you've been over my house and I'm straight up having a conversation with Osiris and you're just sitting there drinking your water like, this is weird. No, I work full time. So I'm a manager at a very big call center. So, I mean, I'm wearing at the gym, like, you know, rugged, badass stuff. But when I leave, I get ready and I throw on heels, a nice dress, do my hair nice, have my makeup done. And I'm a completely different person. Like I'm, you know, I do so many different things that, you know, I do that. I did wedding photography for like 5 years. So I still have that piece of like, I still enjoy doing photos and, you know, in general, just enjoy taking pictures. You know, I love going out. I'm a huge coffee nerd too. So a lot of times a typical Saturday is me and Al will go to some random coffee shop and I love like cold brew and nitro cold brew. So we'll just go somewhere just to try a cold brew. So it's kind of like almost has that beer feeling, but in the coffee world. So it's not very exciting. I'm very busy. So I have to make the most of my time. I love music and concerts and things like that. So, you know, I have a couple different places that I really enjoy, you know, visiting. So like on the weekends, me and Al will go to like Portsmouth, New Hampshire, or we'll go to Portland, Maine, or, you know, Waterbury, Vermont, or Burlington, Vermont. Like we have some nice places just to enjoy scenery, walk around, shop. So I like to adventure a little bit, but use my time wisely. So it's usually a Saturday I go and do stuff, but mm-hmm. Yeah, most of the time you can find me getting ready for work or having a coffee somewhere. Yeah.
What's one tip that you would give someone to be more productive with their time? Or maybe one tip.
I'm a pretty big believer in to-do lists. I'm also really bad at making multiple and scattering them around my life. And I'm like, I know this is somewhere, but I make to-do lists on, you know, stickies at work. I definitely would encourage people that when you think of something to write it down. It's funny because I think I learned that from my stepdad, was a musician who recorded and in your recorded bands and things. And one of his biggest things is he always had like a notebook in his car. And I remember always asking him like, why do you have a notebook in your car? And he's like, when lyrics come to you, when something comes to you, you got to make sure paper's nearby. So like, I don't know why, but that like made me realize like I always have something to write with nearby. So if I know you know, to keep myself in order, what do I have to do? If I think of a random goal or something that I want to try, I'll write it down. So I just like to write everything out. Even if I have to reconsolidate all my random sticky notes into one page, it's at least out there in the universe and written down. So that's good.
What's one book that's changed your life?
Man, I'm not a huge reader, so I don't really know what would be a big book that has changed my life. I'm not really sure. I think you know what's funny is, like, it's so silly to say, is that I used to read a lot when I was younger, and I remember reading so many Judy Blume books about just like growing up, that those helped me grow up, which is like such a silly thing to say. Those chicken noodle soup books, totally. Like, I used to read so much of like that kind of motivational stuff as a kid, which is kind of weird. So I had a lot more reading time when I was younger, but they, you know, gave me some good inspirational stories of overcoming things. Always read the sad ones about the dogs and stuff like that, but but things like that help you kind of get some motivation, inspirational stories in. So I read a lot of those. I've read a lot of other great books, but I can't really say that some of the true crime things I've read helped me a whole lot, besides knowing to always make sure that you lock your door and lock your car. And always check your back seat when you get in your car. You never know who's lurking.
That is essential.
All the podcasts I listen to are all true crime. So that's like another thing that you'll catch me doing, is like listening to like my favorite murder, because you just got to be aware of your surroundings and make sure that, yeah. And I'm a tough girl, but you got to make sure that you know what's going on. So
you got to be ready. You got to be mentally prepared.
Yeah, check that back seat. Tell me.
That will be the headline of the podcast. Make sure to check your back seat, Mandy. Yeah, Man.
Check your damn back seat.
This ironically leads us into one of the other questions: is what's your slogan for life? And it's not, you can't say check your back seat.
Right. Damn. And I won't steal anybody else's that applies to me. I always just say kick ass every day. Like, that's always something I feel like I tell people and I put in posts, and without it being actually something I've been like, that's me. I mean, it's true. Like, not just at the gym, but just kick the most ass you can at everything. So I just live life like that. And that would be my advice to anybody. Because it's cool to feel badass. You feel good about yourself when you, even if it means tackling that report at work, you know what I mean? Like, I kick that report's ass and I feel good about myself. Like, it's just, you know, something cool to live by. Makes you feel confident.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. What advice would you give yourself 20 years from now?
I don't know. Advice 20 years from now. To young me, or what would I give myself? To my future self.
To your future self.
To my future self. I would tell my future self to not dwell on negative things so often and travel as much as you can. That's something I've missed out on, that I don't know if I'll have the chance to financially, but I'm hoping in 20 years I'll have a kind of a different life and maybe even my own little fitness empire, who knows. So I would love to tell myself to just enjoy life. I've spent so much of my life growing up way too damn fast that I've had some really good experiences help mold me and make me so, you know, motivating to myself and others. But I hope 20 years from now, since I'm going to be 28, that, you know, when I'm that, you know, almost 50, that I'm going to be just enjoying the hell out of life and just, you know, making the best of it. I guess that would be my advice.
I love that. And so my last one for you, and I know it's going to kind of intertwine with your slogan, but I think it really sets the stage for people to understand something about you, and more than anything, for you to kind of put your stamp on the podcast. So what is your one rule for life? What's one rule that you always try to live by?
I know it's hard to not use the slogan for that. It's funny because, you know, the other day, I'm sure you probably saw the thing I posted on one of Lindsay's Instagram posts. It was just sort of like, is be a leader. And I always live by that. And it's funny that something she said kind of like made me think of that. But I would just say, I mean, I just like to lead by example. And I think that being a leader is really important. So besides kicking ass every day, just be a leader, be an individual, be unique, be you. I think that those are all kind of cliche things to say, but it's true. Like, you have this one life to live. Why do it like everybody else? Why do you want to look at somebody and be that exact person? You got to be yourself. So by kicking ass every day and being a leader, you kind of get to mesh those together and just be you, and don't be embarrassed by being you. You know, I'm weird, and that's great, because, you know, there's funny memes and gifts that I may send you that you're like, what is wrong with this girl? Between me and Lauren, we've got you all sorts of messed up.
I'm inundated with gifts and memes.
Yes, but being yourself, and if it's weird, if it's, you know, just don't be embarrassed by it, and just be a leader, whether you're leading a group of people or just leading by example of, you know, being yourself. I think it's really important.
I love it. Well, so my last question is, where can people find you, and what are some of the current projects you're working on?
So Instagram is the best place, most motivational things. So it's Queen of Mayhem with two M's at the end on Instagram. I have a Twitter, but I honestly don't use it very frequently. So definitely there on Instagram. One of my newest things right now that I'm trying to work on is, right now I've been working with, I have six like weight loss clients, and, you know, I have one muscle building, but weight loss client. I'm really hoping to get somebody who's already in pretty decent shape, and I'm going to try to create like a muscle building program, because I would love to, you know, kind of move on that side of things of having, you know, a variety of clients. So I'm just trying to widen my reach a little bit and to help different kinds of people, not just weight loss, that's probably my most beloved thing is that, but I also, like, I've fallen in love with muscle building and strength building. So I definitely want to try to expand that part. And overall, slowly dive more into being more of an entrepreneur than I have been. I've been an entrepreneur before in the sense of photography. I got working. I kind of like let that slide. So that kind of taught me, you know, when I really like something, I should really, really go for it. So I'm trying to, at a comfortable level, slowly ease myself into being more of Mandy herself as her own boss. So I'm really trying for that, you know, scheduling photo shoots and things like that to try to get some good content to put out, constantly writing down ideas. And I think I was talking to you the other day, and I you're like, what would you do differently? And I'm like, here you go, Brian, here's a paragraph and a half of all these things that I would be coming in the future. But yeah, just trying to widen those, you know, make it real, like really dive into it a little bit deeper. I'm already like a little bit there. I have my toe in the water. So I just got to have to.
You got at least a foot in the water. Right. No, your story is so inspiring, Mandy. And I'm really grateful that you came onto the podcast and shared it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You're inspiring too. And I'm happy to be your friend and lucky to have you. I look forward to seeing you and Lindsay in August. That's going to be awesome.
I know. It's going to be so amazing. So amazing.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I was allowed to say that. I don't know if that was a surprise or not.
No, it's not a surprise. Not a surprise. We're coming home for anyone who's listening in New Hampshire. We're coming home for about 2 or 3 weeks, depending on how the events unfold. And I also will be home in September for something really exciting. But I'm not going to tell the podcast about that yet. That'll come. I can tell you after this.
Okay, sounds good.
But so thank you all for tuning in. Just a reminder, you can follow us on BMP Radio at Instagram. And at the same time, please leave this podcast a review. But more than anything, thank you all for tuning in. And just a reminder to be a light and inspire others to believe more. I'll see you guys.
And kick ass every day.
Yes. Thank you for tuning in to BMP Radio. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. And if you like this talk, leave it a review. You can follow us on Instagram at BMP Radio or my personal account at Brian Pickowitz. That's PickowiZ. Thank you all for tuning in. And just a reminder, continue to be a light and inspire others to believe more.